Well, we are going to continue this morning with our series of Courage to Say Yes. And it's been interesting the last couple weeks because last week someone said they were going to have to probably do something out of their comfort zone that they didn't really know what to do. And Craig asked for prayer this morning saying, I don't know exactly what I should do. And we're going to talk about a group of people that were presented with a opportunity, a circumstance, and they had to make a choice of what to do. And that's the shepherds. So stand with me this morning. We're going to read out of the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's the story of the shepherds. So we're going to find some principles to put to practice. So let's say our creed. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I'll put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Father, I thank You for prophecy that is kept. I thank You for being a God who makes promises and never fails. I thank You for who You are to us. And when the shepherds saw the angels, Father, help us not to be afraid to say yes to You when You ask us to do something. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I read this passage out of the New International, and it says, "And when they saw the angels, they were terrified." From my youth and being raised with the King James Bible in my hand, they were sore afraid, okay? they were terrified. I can't imagine the emotions that they must have felt that night when they were on a hill, keeping watch over their flocks. Interesting historical and possible cultural revelations that have come to light over the years that we've been studying the shepherds. These shepherds were shepherds that were most likely in the fields between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Don't know how far, don't know if they were right in the center, don't exactly know. But they were probably between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And the sheep that they were watching were not just your run-of-the-mill ordinary sheep. More than likely, these were the sheep that would be sacrificed for the people. These were the temple sheep. These were the sheep that the priests and Levites used every day at 3 o'clock to sacrifice for the sins of the people. And so, as we talk about this story and we talk about them leaving their flocks and going to Bethlehem, This was not just some run-of-the-mill flock of sheep. These were important sheep that they were in charge of. And we don't know if they left somebody back to watch them. And so as we think about the courage to say yes, I want us to just think about the obvious. Once again, we're going to start every one of these series messages is going to start out with point one of pointing out the obvious. The shepherds were at work when they were confronted by the angel. When the angel showed up, they were doing their job. And if, as we've been able to, as the people who have studied it, if they're right, if these were the temple sheep, to just take off and leave and go see the baby that was born in Bethlehem could almost be seen as irresponsible. I mean, these are important sheep that are used in the act of sacrifice that God had instituted thousands of years ago. And so they're at work. And if they leave, who's going to take care of the sheep? Maybe there were some older shepherds that said, you know what, I don't feel like walking that far today. You guys go along and I'll watch the sheep. Maybe so. Or maybe there was some young guy that he didn't have the seniority and they said, you stay here, we're going to go because we're going to go and do this. But let's not forget that maybe nobody stayed. And if they just left, saying yes could have consequences. They could lose their job. They could get punished. I don't know how you dealt with shepherds back in the day. Shepherds were not the most savory of people. Okay? They were kind of the dregs of society, if you will. They were the people that took the job and didn't take a bath for many days. And so, as point two says, they weren't the most savory of people. They were, to a certain degree, I don't want to say the outcast, but they weren't the in-class, okay? They weren't the people that you went to for advice. They probably weren't educated. And they didn't have a lot of stature or status in society and in culture. And so we have to ask ourselves, why in the world would God tell them? They're just, and I say this carefully, every job in this life serves a purpose. You know, we talk about it in church, you know, everybody, we're all a part of the body of Christ. We all have a job. The Bible says that some of the jobs that are the most unpleasant aren't seen, but they may be the most important. And I don't know about you, and I don't say this lightly, but I would really rather not, and I mean, I'm always never going to say the word never, but there are some jobs that I would never want to take. And I would not want to be a trash man. But I am thankful for trash men. And I'm thankful for the waste system that we have that takes care of that stuff. And I, excuse me, I'm thankful for people that can do jobs that most of us don't want to do. Excuse me. So, why would God tell them? Well, I believe that if God is going to come to earth, and again, this is not my revelation that I come to over this year, but over the years that I've studied the Christmas story, when God shows the most unworthy people that he's going to give them a Messiah, that means he's going to give it to everybody. And if he had given this message to the king, you know, the king may have kept it for himself. And the shepherds were being told, and they were going to tell everybody, as the story says that we read. But there's an interesting concept that I want you to think about in this story. As we read this passage, the angels tell the shepherds, today, it says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Where in that does the angel say, I want you to go to Bethlehem and go find the babe? He doesn't. He doesn't say, I want you to go there and you will find the baby. He just said, you'll find the baby. And as I was thinking about this sermon series, and as I came to this place in the sermon, I thought about the fact that there's a lot of time in our life where, man, we don't know what we should do, and maybe we should do this, or maybe we should. And if God would just go in an audible voice, I want you to do this, it would be really easy to go do that.
Amen.
But sometimes God doesn't do that. He just lays something on your heart and goes, here you go. What are you going to do? And we have to decipher and we have to decide if we're going to go see the baby or whether we're just going to go, wow, that was really cool. That was a neat light show. And then keep that to ourselves or maybe tell the next group of shepherds that comes on the next shift or whatever, hey, we saw the angels last night. Well, good for you. You know, I mean, but we don't know. And they hadn't really been told to do anything. And yet, when the angel shows up and tells them that they can find the baby in a manger in Bethlehem, it could be a hard sell to say, hey, let's go. You know, I mean, the consequence, again, thinking about the obvious, we're at work, who's going to take care of the sheep? Should we really leave them? And, you know, what are people going to think if we tell them we saw a bunch of angels, you know? I mean, if I came to you this morning and said, hey, last night I had a dream and I had an angel came to me in a dream, most of you would probably give me the respect and go, oh, that's a really neat dream, Pastor David. You know? And then you're going to go home and go, I don't know about our pastor. You know? Because that just seems a little bit far-fetched. And this is where the shepherds found themselves. But they had to go and see for themselves. Something about what had happened. And you can say, well, if you saw angels and they told you where to go find something, wouldn't you go? All of us would like to say yes. You know, it'd be great to say, if God called me to do something and I knew God was really calling me to do it, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I was called to be a pastor at 17. I know I was called to be a pastor at 17. I remember the bonfire where I threw my piece of wood in to say, "I'm this is my commitment." And then about 3 months later, I said, no. Not doing that. And 17 years later, God recalled and gave me a chance. And I'm here. But again, it's not always easy. But they had to see for themselves. And so when the angels left, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. And again, let's go. Let's do this. We have to go see what has happened. They needed to confirm what the angel has said. When he says things like, I mean, even though these are shepherds, don't forget that these are probably men at least the age of 13, 14. In the Jewish tradition, you are a man at 12. So these are most likely people from 13 to who knows how old they are. Okay? The one thing you have to remember about them, though, each one of them has memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. As a Jewish boy, you had to memorize the Torah. That was part of your growing up. You couldn't have your bar mitzvah, you couldn't be the man until you had memorized those scriptures. In those scriptures, there are messianic prophecies. And I'm sure they'd heard Isaiah read. And so when the angel starts telling them that a Savior has been born, that the Messiah is here, that He is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You know, if you look in your Bible, especially in the Old Testament, any place where it says the Lord, every letter in the word Lord is capitalized for a good reason. And they needed to confirm that the Messiah was born. When they went to Bethlehem and they found Mary and Joseph in a stable or a cave or whatever it was, but they saw a man and a woman and a baby in a manger. They didn't care what their names were. That was confirmation that what the angels had told them was really there. And when that happened, they told everybody. It said, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. So they didn't just say, hey, we saw angels and they said a baby was going to be born and we came here and there was a baby that was born. That was really cool for us to get a message. It was, we saw the Messiah. We saw our Savior. The Lord Himself is in the manger. And it says people were amazed at what they were saying. Mary treasured the things and pondered them in her heart. When she was told by the angel that what was conceived in her would be the Son of God, there's a part of me that goes, I wonder if she really understood what that whole thing meant. Now, Elizabeth confirmed for Mary that, you know, why would the mother of my Lord come to see me? So there's a little bit there, but when the shepherds come that night and probably tell them about the angels, because they're, you know, who knows, maybe they walk into the stable and Joseph's like, what are you doing here? And they're like, we saw angels and they told us that a baby was born here and would be lying in a manger and he's the Savior, he's the Messiah. I mean, that's crazy. That makes everything start to really fit together. And when you take each one of the characters that we talked about, willing to say yes, Mary says, you know what? If that's what God wants me to do, let it be. You know, make it so. Joseph, as crazy as it may have been for him to go, this is going to ruin my plan. This is going to ruin my reputation possibly. But this is what God tells me to do, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes. And the shepherds, they said yes. And you can't tell the Christmas story without talking about Mary. And you can't tell the story without talking about Joseph. But I wouldn't want the Christmas story without the shepherds. They show us so much that everyday ordinary people can be remembered for eternity because they said yes to God. And we're part of the Christmas story. And so my challenge to you, as it's been for the last 3 weeks, listen to God. He may not speak to you in an audible voice. He may impress on you to do something that you wouldn't normally do. I tell people a lot of the time, if you ever feel like something inside of you is telling you to do something good, it probably comes from God. because Satan's never going to ask you to do something good. So listen to the still small voice and have the courage to say yes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you do for us. I thank you for the way that you have made this Christmas story a story that has been told for thousands of years. Lord, help us to never get tired of hearing your story. The story of how you sent your one and only Son in a very unconventional way, an unroyal way. But Father, he's the King. He's the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. May we have the courage to say yes to him when he tells us to do something. I ask this in your name.